for Sunday school too. So open your Bibles up to Ephesians chapter number 5. If you're visiting here with us today, this is not normal. As I said earlier, I haven't even been on the medicine since 5 o'clock yesterday, and still feel a little dizzy and a little droggy and things like that. So sitting down gives me a lot more comfort. So please bear with me. And if I say something that's wrong, once again, we can blame it on the medicine. So that way I can say whatever I want today, right? Ephesians chapter number 5. Last week we began a series on stewardship. We talked about the gift of life and what we're going to spend on Sunday nights. I know you said, Pastor, that was supposed to be for Sunday nights. Well, Brother Mark is going to help me tonight so I can go home this afternoon and rest some. Brother Mark's going to be preaching tonight. So the message that was intended for tonight, I'm going to deliver this morning to keep the series going. This morning, our title of our message is Stewarding Our Time with Eternity in Mind. Now, it does rhyme a little bit. I didn't do that on purpose. It's just the way the message worked out. Stewarding our time with eternity in mind. Remember what we talked about last week? The steward is one who spends by investment. He or she is commissioned to purposely and wisely appropriate the resources of the master or the boss. Here's the thought we talked about last week. God has given us a special gift. That gift is life. And if God has given us this gift of life, he has given us this gift of life so we can steward it for his use and for his purpose. Last week we talked about the special gift. We talked about how the life is precious and should be protected. We talked about how today life doesn't seem like that's very protective when we talked about abortion and how people do not count the preciousness of life. Also, we talked about how God is sovereign over life. So what do you mean by sovereign? He's in complete control. We talked about the different Bible examples of women who were barren, was not able to have children, and God opened the womb for them. We talked about the Elizabeths, talked about the Hannahs, and we talked about the special births that only God allowed this to happen. Also, we talked about how God extended the life of one of the kings. But we also spoke about how God is sovereign because he is the only one that can bless a life, and he knows who needs to be blessed. Remember last week we talked about how Moses said, before I put you a curse or a blessing or a curse. People who are going to obey, they're going to be blessed. People who are going to be cursed are the people who are disobedient. And so God is the only one that is able to open a womb. He's the only one that's able to extend a life or take a life early, at least. And then also you think about this, God is the one is able to bless a life. And if God is able to do all those things, we ended last week with this thought, God has a purpose for every life. God has a purpose for every life. And we said it was important for us to figure out what that purpose was. And we looked in the Revelation 4:11. It says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So if we think of it this way, the Bible's saying right here in this verse that God has created us for his pleasure. And we have been created, he created all things, and all of us should bring glory to God with our lives. I encourage you to go home and consider writing a purpose statement for your life. Writing a statement in one capsule, in a few sentences, or in a short paragraph, what you believe your purpose is in this life. Wise stewards look beyond the choices of today to the outcomes of tomorrow. And this morning, when we look at stewarding our time with eternity in mind, we must remember, how are we choosing our moments, our minutes, and our hours, and our days? Are we stewarding them, investing them into the eternity? Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for the opportunity to be able to come to your house today, Lord. But I pray that the message today will encourage each and every person that's here. Lord, life is short. I know sometimes it might seem like it's getting longer and longer, especially as you get older, sometimes you start feeling a little bit worse and it seems like things drag on. But Lord, in sight of eternity, life is very, very short. Help us to grab a hold of this idea that we have a certain amount of time here in this world and that we steward it, Lord, investing it into eternity. Lord, I do ask that you speak to people's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. C.T. Studd once wisely wrote, Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. At the end of our life, we will stand before Jesus Christ to give an account for how we have used the resources He's allowed it to us. And when we look at this idea of time, the Bible speaks much about the time we have here on earth and how we should use it. This is where we come to Ephesians chapter number 5. Look at verse number 15. Ephesians 5, verse number 15. The Bible says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." So in these verses, we see that God has a certain way that He wants us to walk. He says He wants us to walk circumspectly. He says He wants us to walk as the wise, not as foolish. He wants us to redeem the time, and He wants us to understand what His will is for us. If life is a gift, then time is the vehicle by which it is delivered upon to us. Each day, we all have 24 hours at our disposal, 1,440 minutes, 86,000 seconds, and every moment is a precious gift from God. One person calculated this way. On average, a person sleeps 23 years of his life. You believe that? Sleeping for 23 years. If this is on the 70-year average, sleeps for 23 years, which is almost 33% of their life. You think about it, if you sleep 8 hours a day, that's one-third of the day. You do that for most of your life. Maybe some more when you're younger, less when you get older. That's about right. You think about work. It says you work for about 16 years of your life. Watch television for 8 years of your life. Eating, 6 years of your life. Yeah, I know some of us, maybe that's a little bit more than others. Traveling, 6 years of your life. Leisure time, 4.5 years. Dealing with sickness or illness, 4 years. Dressing, 2 years. Now, I don't see how they can compromise and say 2 years. They should be like 2 years for a man, 4 years for a woman. And then last but not least, on average, remember, I got the medicine in me, so you might not know what might be said. So, people does in religious type service, 0.5 years. Now, I know you're here on Sunday morning. I know many of you are faithful to a Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. So I understand that's just norm where most people, by taking surveys, have broken this down to. Now, I don't know if that estimate is correct, but it does remind us of the ability to steward our time wisely. We have 24 hours in a day. How do we use those hours? Benjamin Franklin one time observed, "Dost thou love life? Then do not squander time, for it is the stuff life is made of." Just as with life itself and any other resources God gives us, we have three options. We mentioned this just a little bit last week, and we'll mention this throughout the series on Sunday night. You have three options what you're going to do with the resources you have. First, you can squander it. You can foolishly waste it. Secondly, you can spend it. Say, what do you mean by spend it? Meaning that you have something and you spend it at an increasingly rate and you just keep on using it to its fullest maximum ability. Or you can steward it and wisely invest it. Say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, I know that there are those who use their time so much and they spend it so much, they let their bodies go so far that they spend themselves to the point that they don't have the resource of their body anymore. So that's what the idea of spending it is. It's the idea of pushing it to the limit so much that you do not use the investment wisely. The time that you have, God gives us our bodies, gives us ability, gives us time so we can invest it wisely. Time is a slippery commodity. You can't hold on to it. You can't save it for the future use. If you aren't prepared to allocate it at this moment, it's gone forever. Time is here for a moment, and then it's gone forever. Except for one possible exception. Think about it this way. If you had your bank call you up and say, we have a new program we want you to be a part of. And in this program, we are going to credit your account with $86,000 each morning. And all you had to do is use that $86,000 throughout the whole day. And at the end of the day, anything that's left in it, it's going to be gone. He might say, well, what's the name of your bank? Because I'd like to be part of that program too. And that's the truth is, we all would. I think all of us could probably use the $86,000, and we could use it each and every day to spend and invest whatever way we want. And I think most of us, if we had that opportunity, we could find a way to spend the $86,000. First thing we would do in less than 4 days, we could pay the church mortgage off. Praise the Lord, right? Remember, God gets the first fruits, right? So the truth is, we do have a bank that credits our account with 86,000 seconds a day. It's the bank of time. And in this time that we have, we should be a wise steward and learn to redeem this time moment for moment from the bank of today and invest it into the bank of eternity. Remember, stewarding our time with eternity in mind. What are we using our moments and our minutes for? As we said, it's a slippery commodity. It goes away, never to come back, except for one exception. Anything you invest into eternity will last forever. But the things that we invest in ourselves in this world here today, someday they will be gone. Eternity knows nothing about the fleeting nature of time, and anything deposited there will be forever preserved. Let's look at our verses one more time. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise and understanding what the will of the Lord is. This passage instructs us to develop an eternal value system for our time. Redeem today when we wisely invest it into eternity. Before it expires, we need to make good use of our time. Invest it into something that will last forever. There's 3 points I'd like to bring across today. First, stewarding our time means defining success. Stewarding our time means defining success. However much time we have and how many years we have in this world, we do not know. But if we will clearly be able to identify what success is, we'll be able to tell whether or not we are being successful. So what's success? Well, let's look at our verses again. It says, See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So what is the term of success according to these verses? You look at that last phrase found in verse number 17. What does it say? Understanding what the will of the Lord is. The Bible teaches us that if we really truly want to be successful in this world and invest in the future, we must understand God's will. Now, from a secular viewpoint, what would be success? From a secular viewpoint, it'd be climbing to the top of the ladder. From a secular viewpoint, it would be maybe having great prestigious possessions or having great fame or doing these wonderful and great attributes that the world would cry and praise you for. Now, there's nothing necessarily wrong with being successful. But if we identify that as true success, we're going to miss the whole point why we're here. Remember what we learned last week? What did we learn last week? That life is a gift from God. And if life is a gift from God, we should steward the minutes, the hours, the days, the months, and years on how I can invest wisely. Remember, we learned last week, we are all stewards of what God's given us. Our stewardship of our life is taking advantage of the time we have. After all, financial returns, highest positions in a career, material possessions, they won't last forever. If these become our goals, when your time is gone, so is your success. Understanding what the will of the Lord is doing what is successful. Success is knowing and doing the will of God. It's investing our time in which will last for eternity. As a pastor, I've stood by quite a many people when they were passing away. Never once have I ever heard them say, I wish I made more money. Never once have I ever heard them say, I wish I could have had that promotion. Now, when sitting in their house years earlier when they had good health, that might have been the thing that was their focus. If I could just get the promotion, if I could just have some more money, if I could just have this or have that, that might have been what they were focused on. But on their deathbed, getting ready to die, you know what they're saying? I wish I would have spent more time with my children. I wish I would have spent more time serving God. I wish I would have went to church more often. I wish I would have been a witness to my family. Some things don't matter when you approach that bridge between eternity and time. Some things just don't matter anymore. If you do not clearly identify what true success is and invest your life in finding out what God's will is for your life and doing it, the things you do here in this world will not last forever. Another thing I want you to think about is stewarding our life means stewarding our time means prioritizing. Stewarding our time means prioritizing. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? It means that we need to prioritize the things that we do. Look what it says here in verse number 15. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Now this word circumspectly means to be cautious, means to be vigilant, means to keep the entire circumstances and events in mind. So you're saying the Bible says walk circumspectly. That means as we walk through this life, we must keep our minds focused on eternity, keep our minds focused on the future, and we must be cautious, careful, vigilant. Most people spend their days just like a treadmill. They go and do the same thing. They sleep. Amen. We like sleep. I like sleep. You wake up. Some of us eat breakfast. Some of us don't. Go to work. Go to have lunch. Go to work. Get off. Go home, eat dinner, maybe watch the evening news. Then what do you end up doing? Going back to bed. And I mean, that's normal. Routines are good. They help provide successful living. But in your routines, if that's all you ever do, never taking into account the overall big picture of what true success is, then what have we accomplished? Think about your last week of life. All those different moments being spent. In one moment in time, did you contribute to fulfilling God's will for your life? At any moment in time, did you invest those minutes, those hours, into another person's life? Did you invest in another person's life by loving your wife, loving your husband, spending time with your children, witnessing to coworkers, reading your Bible, encouraging godly friends? Did you do any of those times, those moments that you had? These are eternal priorities. These are the priorities of the Bible. We get in a treadmill, we get on a certain routine that we do the exact thing over and over. But what we must do is we must prioritize our time. We must circumspectly walk and use our time wisely, looking for opportunities where we can minister unto others. The Bible says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You say, why in the world is it important that we prioritize our time? It's because these days are evil. You know, in the Bible, it speaks of an adversary that we have. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. The reason why we need to be alert is because we need to understand we have an enemy. The devil will do whatever he can to destroy your time here on earth. If you are a Christian, the devil has not succeeded in stopping you from becoming saved. But what he can do is he can take your life now and render it useless for God. And one of the ways he does this is by destroying the time you have on this earth, by filling it up with sinful living, and by devouring up your times with activities that are of no eternal value. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying every second of every minute of every day you must be doing something that is focused on eternity. But everything must be a part of the reason, has reasons that can help affect someone else's eternity. Either way, in the end, if you spend your life wasting on sinful living or spend your life on no eternal value living, you know what happens? You've wasted the time that God's given you. But think about it. In these last weeks, these last hours, these last minutes of our lives, have we done anything to invest into eternity? This is why you must purposely steward your time. You must guard against Satan's tactics and live to accomplish God's purpose. We live in a time and a period where sin abounds. We live in a time and a period like none before where the sin is going crazy and getting worse and worse in the world we live in. But you know, while sin abounds, you know what else abounds? The opportunities to live for God. The opportunities to reach out to more. As sin abounds, our opportunities to shine brighter as a Christian becomes greater and greater. No matter what's going on in our lives, we have an opportunity to invest in the future, in eternity, by living for God today. Because Satan is actively working to devour our lives, and the minutes we've comprised, we must purposely engage in our time in eternity. We must plan to redeem every moment for the glory of God. Christians, how do you use your life? How do you use your time? Like I said, some of us might have 100 years in this world. Some of us might only have 10 years in this world. But we do not know what the future holds. We do not know how long we have. All we can do is take the time that God's given us now and steward them with eternity in mind. We need to watch out for the devil's tracks. That's why the Bible traps. That's why the Bible says walk circumspectly. He's underscoring the need to walk. He's saying you need to walk with a balance. How many of us have seen people slip off and give their time over to just one pursuit? How many husbands we've seen lose their wives because all they do is spend their time at their jobs? How many preachers have we seen lose their families because all they ever focus on is their ministry? How many ladies have lost their health because all they've ever done is minister to others? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you that a preacher should not be focused on his ministry. I'm not telling you a man should not be focused on his job. I'm not telling you that a lady should not be focused on ministering others. But if we spend all our time on that, there is something that is going to fail. There is something that is going to falter. God gives us 24 hours in a day, and we must learn to steward it. Survival requires that we learn to walk with balance. If we truly want to steward our time with eternity in mind, we must be balanced in what we do. It is not possible to give God too much. He deserves our all. I know the Apostle Paul says he'd be willing to be spent, and I understand that. He was willing to be spent for the people, and we should be also willing to spend our times and opportunity. And the Lord deserves everything. But the entirely possible, with good intentions in mind, we can live in an unbalanced life and engage in just one pursuit and forget all the rest. Sometimes this danger happens when a parent only focuses on their child and everything revolves around that child. You know what happens? When the children are gone, the husband and wife do not even know each other because everything was around the child. You know, it's important that we live a balanced life. Not only do we need to steward our time by defining success, stewarding our time by prioritizing, we also need to steward our time means we need God's wisdom. Look what the Bible says here in verse 17. Wherefore, be not unwise. Look at the end of verse number 15. It says, not as fools, but as wise. You might say, Pastor, how am I supposed to know how to steward my time? How am I supposed to know where to invest? What one part is too much and where another part is lacking? How can I? I only have 24 hours in a day. Well, that's the point. You do have 24 hours. The Lord gives you that each and every day. Remember, it's a gift from God. How do we learn it? We need God's wisdom. We need God's help. We need God to instruct us on how to walk circumspectly. We need to walk with vigilance and with balance. He equips us with this by doing His will. He equips us with the opportunities to learn how to prioritize the activities to have a significance, an eternal significance. Wisdom helps us avoid time wasters. And wisdom helps avoid being driven. Now, see, you say, Pastor, driven, isn't that a good thing? Driven people many times makes the center of their life their well-planned schedules. And this stem for this passion for all the things that they are driven for does not have an eternal purpose. But instead of putting God first and saying, God, I believe in you, I believe in your system, they become so driven that they can do things on their own. They neglect depending on God. They neglect acknowledging that they need God who created us and we are dependent upon God. How many times have you seen someone have a heart attack because all they did was they were driven and they worked so hard and God had to put them right on their back till they learned that God is supposed to be first. You need to depend on God. I tell you, Wednesday night when I got home after I got done preaching and I pulled that muscle in my chest, I for a little while there, I was worried. I don't know how many guys have ever had pulled muscles, and I told a doctor this past week I was a little bit of a wimp when it came to pain, but I said when I was laying there on Wednesday night, I was in worst pain of my life, and my wife said, well, what about your kidney stone? I said, this was even worse than my kidney stone in my knowledge, and because I had gone up on Wednesday night, I was preaching, and I felt it when I was preaching, so I just kept on going, and I was going to stop, and I figured I'd get it finished when I got home, but when I was laying there in that bed, and I was feeling that pain, you know, I was completely dependent upon God. I said, God, you know what? I'm going through something here. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's causing this. I didn't think it was my heart. I called our our church nurse, and I call her church nurse, Miss Nikki, and asked her for a little bit of advice. And I know there are other nurses inside her church, but Miss Nikki's the one that's helped her family over the years. And I said, Miss Nikki, I think I have a pulled muscle on my chest, and because it was on this side, and because of the different symptoms I had. And she says, I think you're right. And it had a strain on my neck and all the way up to my shoulder, and I was in extreme pain. And I laid there with God. I said, God, okay, what are you trying to teach me here? I said, God, I don't care what you teach me, just teach me quickly so I don't have to be in pain much longer. It didn't work. It didn't go away quickly. But I was completely dependent upon God. And I was working on this message already, and I come to this point where it says, you know, the Lord has been teaching me a lot about being a good steward. Being a steward, once again, is a gift. We have a life as a gift from God. And I know when we talk about stewardship, people are thinking, all you're going to do is talking about money. God doesn't just give us money. God doesn't just give us resources. He gives us all types of resources. He gives us time. He gives us thoughts. Next week, next Sunday night, is going to be the idea of stewarding your thoughts. He said, what do you mean, Pastor? So many people waste their thoughts on stressful things, and they have stress in their life that they never consider God. They never consider the scriptures. They never consider making things of eternal value. God gives us trials at time. And we need to learn how to steward those trials. God gives us treasures, which is our finances. We need to learn how to steward those treasures. God gives us many different things that our families. We need to learn how to steward our families. There are lots of things that God gives us in our life. But we need to learn how to treasure them and steward them by investing into eternity. Too often do we live lives that only matter here in this world. You know what? That's not what God created us for. First thing we learned last week was what? That life is a gift from God, and we've been brought here to glorify God for His pleasure and for His doing. And then we're missing the whole point when we don't steward our life and we don't steward our times. Say, Pastor, how do I get wisdom? I'm glad you asked. The Bible speaks much about how to get wisdom. In Proverbs, why don't you take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter number 2, you have a wonderful passage of Scripture and how the Bible teaches us we can have wisdom. Proverbs chapter number 2 and verse number 2. The Bible says, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom, and applying thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and lifted up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. When Lord is telling us in Ephesians 6 to be wise and to walk circumspectly, he's saying that we need his help. We need wisdom from God. And you see at the end there, it says, for the Lord giveth wisdom. How do you get wisdom? If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Say, Pastor, I don't have any idea how to make my life count more for God. Well, you need to get in your Bibles, and you need to read and understand that God can give you the wisdom on how to live a life that will count for eternity. The Bible has the answers. And it says if you're willing to seek for it as silver or search for it as hid treasures, God will give it to you. I use this example with the kids. I think I might even use it with adults one time. If I told you that in 1 minute we're going to go outside and there's $1 million somewhere on this property, and whoever finds it gets to keep it, I tell you, I think people would be here and they would be searching until they found it. They would be going out there with shovels. They'd be going out there and be tearing my yard up. They would be doing all types of stuff looking for that $1 million. You can have it if you find it. There isn't. But if you do find it on the property, it's the church's, not yours. But, we would go out and we would search. If we didn't find it at night, until nighttime, they would bring out the flashlights. They'd be calling to work up on Monday, say, hey, look, I can't come in. Until they found that. And this is the idea. If we're going to look for wisdom, if we're going to search for wisdom, if we're going to look for wisdom and search for wisdom, the same way we would look for silver, the same way we would look for hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, for the Lord giveth wisdom. You know what? Your life is more precious than gold and silver. The time that God has given you is more precious than gold and silver. Because if you didn't have time, what would it help you in eternity? The things that you do in this world, here and now, with the time you have, will someday you'll answer before God. Say, okay, Pastor, I'm supposed to search for it. What else am I supposed to do? You're supposed to ask God for it. Bible says in James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, and you know that's me, we all need God's help, we all need wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. If you want to know where to get wisdom from, ask God for it. That's the only place you're going to find it. Proverbs 2, you see, for the Lord giveth wisdom. You might be able to get all the knowledge of all the books of all the world, but wisdom only comes from God. And if you lack wisdom, the only place you can get it is from asking God. You say, Pastor, how am I supposed to make my life stewarding my time with eternity in mind? How am I supposed to do that? You're supposed to ask God for it. The Bible also says you can listen to the counsel of others. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. There's nothing wrong with asking godly counselors for advice. Through trial and error, we can apply wisdom to our life. Proverbs 6:23 says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. I want you to get this and understand this. I know this is not a typical Sunday morning message, but it's a message that we all need to hear. You're only given a certain number of minutes in this life. You're only given a certain number of seconds, certain number of hours, certain number of months, certain number of years. You look back in your last weeks, have you done anything to invest into eternity? Because that's your purpose for being here. Now, a couple thoughts and we'll be done. I want you to understand what God has given me is sustainable. What God has given me is sustainable. What do you mean? God wants you to have a life that counts for eternity. You might say, my life's too busy, I can't do that. God is not in God's nature to give us more responsibilities than grace. If God's giving you responsibilities, he will sustain you and he will make your life count for God. Second thing I want you to remember is an opportunity does not always equal an obligation. An opportunity does not always equal an obligation. You know, the great successful men in life says, it wasn't the times I said yes that mattered more than the times that I said no. Sometimes we must learn that our schedules and our times become occupied with so many things that does not have eternal value that we need to say no to certain things in our life. And let me give you a hint. Saying no to church is not one of those things. You can't say, I'm too busy. You got to ask God for wisdom. Church should be a priority. But there are times in your life that you must realize that opportunities will present themselves, but you might not always get to do them. Say, Pastor, just because somebody has an idea, you would not believe how many people come to me with ideas for our church. If I try to do all of them, you think we're busy now, you can not imagine how many times people, I think we should do this, I think we should do that. And I love opportunities, I love wisdom, and I am a pastor that will actually go, will listen, will pray, freely consider over those things. But we just can't do everything. And sometimes the answer's just got to be no, and it breaks my heart sometimes when I got to say, no, I don't think that's best for us right now. But an opportunity does not always equal an obligation. Remember that in your life. If you want to steward your time with eternity in mind, there are going to be times when you're going to have to say, you know what? I can't commit to that sports team. You know, I can't commit to that fishing trip, or I can't commit to that type of class. I can't because of the fact that I need to make sure my focus is on eternity. The third thing, I must identify and focus on the important things. I must identify and focus on the important things. Every opportunity looks important at the moment it presents itself, but living with the eternal perspective will help us sort out what matters most. Often looking beyond time helps you distinguish between the trivial and the truly important. Sometimes it's helpful to ask this question, what is going to matter when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ? Of all these activities, when I stand before Jesus Christ, he says, I gave you 80 years in this world. Is this going to matter? Most of the things we do will not matter. Once again, there's nothing wrong with friendship. There's nothing wrong with family time. There's nothing wrong with spending enjoyment and relaxation. The Bible speaks for all those things. But we also must steward our time with eternity in mind. Tarrying times are not idle times. Tarrying times are not idle times. What do you mean? We like to see immediate results, don't we? We go out and we knock on doors, invite people to church. We're hoping the next day every single person we talk to is in church. Does that happen? No. Doesn't even come close to happening. But you know, tarrying times are not idle times. The Lord teaches us to be patient. The Lord teaches us that we need to wait on the Lord. And we need to understand that just because something isn't happening the way we like to happen does not mean that we have to become driven to accomplish it. It means that God sometimes is trying to teach us to wait, or maybe to go a different direction. Last but not least, I will center time, make a commitment. I will center my time on the main thing God has called me to do. I will center my time on the main thing that God's called me to do. And I will make this applicable to my life. Regardless of any life's achievements, if I neglect my wife and my children, if I fail in that area, I'm failing in eternity. I'm failing. I've missed the only spot. I'm the only person that can be her husband and Christian and Andrew's father. And if I miss that opportunity, guess what? I've missed a lot. I need to focus on the things that, and take that I pastor here at Faith Baptist Church. It's a wonderful privilege. I'm thankful for that. I wouldn't want to go anywhere else. But at the same time, if I do not spend my time on the main things, like preparing messages and praying, and in Bible study, you know what happens? I miss the reason why I'm a pastor. And I know that there's other obligations and there's other things, but we must learn to center our time on the main thing God has called me to do. Wives, that is to be an encouragement to your husbands. Being a keeper at home. I'm not saying you can't work outside the home, but the Bible says that that's what a wife's responsibility is, to be a keeper of the home. And their children are a higher priority than a job. Just as I said that my family is a higher priority than my job, it's the same way that we make sure that we get to the Bible and look for wisdom. Husbands, if you do not take care of your wife, you're missing out on your number one priorities. God is the number one priority, and He has given you certain things that are your main thing. But why is it that if it's our families that are supposed to be, and our spiritual, the things that we're supposed to be high priorities, what do we spend all our time doing? What do we spend all our time accomplishing and chasing after? This is a message that's supposed to try to encourage you to understand we need to focus on things that are going to matter for eternity. And I like sports. You all know that I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. You all know that I enjoy talking a little bit about sports. I enjoy watching it with my sons. I count it as my family time. But if all I ever did was think about sports or watching and keeping up with everything, spend all my time on that, how's that going to help in eternity? It's not going to. How about in your lives? What is it that you spend your most time in thinking on? Are you using the time God has given you wisely? One last thing, the universal law of time. Wherever you go and whatever your responsibilities may include, there is a law of time that is non-optional and unchanging. Time is a limited resource. Wisdom leads us to pray with the psalmist, so teach us to number our days. Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You know, James chapter 4, verse number 14 says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. If you think about this in your heart and life, you might say, well, I got tomorrow to be with my kids, or I got tomorrow to get things right with God, or I got this time to witness my neighbor. God says you're not promised of tomorrow. Here's the scariest thing, is that some people put salvation off. Hey, what's salvation? The Bible teaches us that we're all sinners. We are all in need of a Savior. That Jesus Christ saw our need and He came to this world. He died on the cross, was nailed to the cross, died for our sins. He was buried in a tomb and He rose again to pay our price for our sin. And that we are all eternally lost, headed to a sinner's hell until we realize our need and we cry out to God, asking Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. But a lot of people say, well, I don't need to get right with God. I'm only 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years old. I have plenty of time. Well, the universal law of time is that it is a limited resource, and none of us know how long we're going to be here. This morning, are you a Christian? Are you saved? If you were to die today, and to stand before God, and God look at you and ask you, why should I allow you to go into heaven? If you have any other answer than the fact that I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he did on that cross, you're never gonna make it. Because all the good works we can do, all the things that we can do with our time that we think are valuable, are going to mean nothing. It's all about whether or not your name is written down in the book of life by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And if you've never done that, let me encourage you, do that today. In just a second, we're going to have an invitation time. The invitation time is when you encourage people to come forward if God has spoken to your heart. If God's spoken to your heart about different matters, you can deal with it at the altar by praying. If you want someone to pray with you, let us know. We'll have somebody pray with you. But if you're not a Christian, if you're not sure if you're going to die today, that you go to heaven, please come forward. Redeem the time. The Bible says, behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. I'll be standing down front. Come, let me know that you want to be saved, and we'll have somebody take a Bible and show you how you can become a Christian even here today. Remember, steward your time with eternity in mind. How are you using the minutes, the hours, the months that God has given you? How have you impacted eternity in the last few weeks? I think this is a message that was convicting to me, because I need to know that I'm prioritizing my time the way that would affect eternity, not just the way I want it to affect my life today. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.